Welcome to Knitting a Story, a podcast by two crazed knitters. I'm Jen.
And I'm Lex.
Welcome to our story pod, friends. Episode 11, Falling Off the Wagon.
On this week's episode, we have Show Me Your Knits, Off the Needles, There's Always Room for Yarn, Have Yarn Will Travel, Knitting in the Wild, Crap I Learned at Knit Night.
All right. So, Show Me Your Knits. What are you working on, Lex?
Oh, it hasn't been a very, it's sort of been an exciting week for knitting, I guess, but I'm still plugging away on the Citron, you know, knitting and purling and...
More knitting and more purling.
And knitting front back and then knitting two together.
Are you enjoying it more? Like, is it seeming more enjoyable or still a little too boring?
It's not too bad. I have to be in the right mood. Like, when I'm not in the mood to be fiddly, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm thinking about... bringing it to school with me.
Ooh.
Not knitting it in class because I have to keep track of my rows, but if I get there early, you know, sit down with some coffee and knit and get stares from everyone.
And just kind of decompress.
Yeah, you know, and just sort of figure out where I'm at, and maybe that'll get it done quicker. I don't know. But I'd like to bring a pair of socks, ideally, but I don't have socks that are appropriate knitting for...
What do you mean appropriate? Just too complicated?
Yeah, like all the stuff I've got going on that's sock-ish is just too...
Fiddly.
Fiddly and beads and cables and...
Color work.
Yeah, you know, like, where am I? Ah! You know, like, oh, hey, I've got, you know, 2 minutes to get to class. Oh, let's just drop this in the middle of the round. No.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I just don't have anything like that. So, I'll eventually bring socks.
Yeah.
But for now, maybe the Citron's the ticket. Maybe that'll get it done.
I like the Citron.
So, I don't have any layovers in between my classes because I only have one class a day, but I tend to get places super early.
The same way. I'd rather be super early and have time to kill than late and freaking out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Especially for classes. So.
Yeah, so what else have you got?
Well, the other stuff I have that I've worked on and finished, but I can't talk about, is super secret baby knitting. It's not for me, because otherwise it wouldn't be a secret. So nobody get any ideas. I've got a baby shower that I'm going to in a few weeks, and I don't know if the intended recipient listens to the podcast or not. She knows about the podcast. I've given her the information. She said she would listen.
Yeah, better safe than sorry, though, when it's a gift, right?
Yeah, so I don't want to ruin it. It's very cute.
How much of a deadline are you on?
Not really. Well, it's in 2 weeks.
Okay, so not too bad.
And baby knitting, and I'm knitting in, like, a sport to worsted size yarn, so it's not, like, this tedious sock weight knitting.
Yeah.
You know, like a baby, I'm not doing like this crazy baby blanket out of like lace weight or anything. That's insane.
That is insane.
I have 2 weeks. So, you know, easy-ish.
Enjoyable.
Oh, one of the patterns that I picked. Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I will knit this forever.
Did you finish the baby blanket that you were talking about last week? Is that the...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the baby blanket. Nope. It's still at home in my bag. I haven't even like touched it.
So that's not a part of this gift, obviously, because we've talked about
it. I thought about it. I was like, oh, baby blanket. Then I was like, realistically, not going to make it in time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll give it to it like as a later gift. I don't know what's happening.
Christmas,
who knows? But there's no blankets for this baby shower. So if you're listening, you're not getting a blanket because I don't have time.
Yet.
You might in the future, but I'd like to learn how to crochet a blanket.
Oh.
Out of something other than double crochet, which is all I can do.
Crocheting is awesome, especially for baby blankets. Like, knit baby blankets are beautiful, but you can't beat the speed of crochet.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a story about that for later.
Okay, sweet.
So, that's all I've worked on. Hasn't been super productive. I've been concentrating on school and stuff. What about you?
I am almost done my Citron. I'm on the very last repeat, so it's... I think it calls for 5 repeats or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the bottom repeat is a ruffle.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to know, I did put under my projects page, I did put some of a picture of the color so that you can see kind of the grayish purple. Gray and purple, I guess, not ish.
Yeah, it's not ish.
Yeah.
It's two separate colors. Yeah,
it is definitely two separate colors. And it is, I still love it. But it's 500 and some odd stitches long per round on the ruffle. And it's 11 rounds.
And what round are you on?
I think I've gotten maybe four. So a knit round, purl round, knit round, purl round. I think I'm working on the purl round.
Oh, well.
And I'm tempted to undo, because I'm using the Knit Picks cable or interchangeables.
Yeah.
And I'm really tempted to take off the cable and put it on a longer cable, because that's what's slowing me down, is it's so many stitches.
They're all bunched up and stuff. They are. Hey? Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, when I read it, how many stitches there were, I was like, oh my god, that's a lot of stitches.
Yeah, this is something to keep in mind, because when I was looking at my Citron, and I have a lot more, like, it only calls for, I'm going to pull a number out of the top of my head here, something like 400 yards of lace weight.
I
have, like, a bazillion yards of lace weight. I've got, like, 900. But now that you've mentioned this 500 ruffle, stitch ruffle thing at the end of the regular rows, oh, who knows, I'm crazy. I mean, you know, here I am, oh, blah, blah, it's so boring, la, la, la. I'm going to end up with, like, 1,000 stitches at the end. And
yeah, just give yourself, like, 2 weeks, and it'll be midterm time, and you'll be like, I need something simple. Where's the Citron?
Not 2 weeks. That's too soon for midterms.
Oh, well, for me. I guess.
I have 14 weeks in this semester.
Oh, mine are only 8 weeks, and luckily I've got a couple weeks before mine starts, so.
Yeah, I've got 14 weeks, so.
Do you want to tell people? I think we've mentioned what you're taking for school, what your end goal is.
I don't know. If we haven't, I will tell you, and if we have, well, you're going to find out again. So, I am hoping to get into the midwifery program at the university here. It's a very competitive program. They take between 10 and 12 students a year.
Oh, man. How many people applied last year?
Applied? Two.
Interviewed, I guess.
Well, 260-ish applied. 268, I think. 40 got an interview.
Yeah, and you were one of the interviewees.
I got an interview, yeah. And then 10 people, I think they let 10 people in, and I was on the wait list. But I didn't get in.
So you were still, like, shortlisted, but man, you got a, that's competitive.
And I had a, yeah, and the competitive GPA to get into this program is 3.97, which, if you're doing any calculations, is 3 A's and an A minus.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's called super smart.
Yeah.
I guess if somebody's catching your baby, you want them super smart?
Well, hopefully.
Willing to do the work?
So, you know, my knitting might slow down. It's not going to stop, though, because then I'd go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But it might slow down, so you might hear about the Citron a lot. Sorry, guys. But I'll try to spice it up with things I learned at school or something.
Yeah.
You know, add a new segment to make it interesting.
Feminism. Isn't that your last semester was, like, super feminism?
So is this semester. Well, one of my classes this semester is issues women face globally, which I'm really looking forward to. And I'm taking religion and popular culture. I'm taking classes that I think I can get an A in, people. This is why you're like, midwifery, religion and popular culture, what are you talking about? This is why. Which is all about film. So I get to watch The Matrix and Donnie Darko and Star Wars and 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's sweet.
Spirited Away and a couple others that I can't remember. So that should be interesting.
And if you want to know what I'm taking, I'm taking some more accounting courses. I have a degree in accounting, so I'm...
Number crunching.
Yeah. Counting the beans, let's be serious.
Yeah, well...
But I love it. It's awesome.
We need bean counters.
Yeah, it's so different than what I'm doing now, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure everybody who's like midwifery, that doesn't sound awesome.
Well...
I think it's awesome, but hey...
Very few people go, accounting, that's awesome! Midwifery is at least cool. You at least get to play with babies.
Well, I hear mostly, what's a midwife? So, I'll answer that question right now, you know, because this has so much to do with our knitting.
But it has to do with us.
A midwife, really basically, if you don't know, is someone who does your prenatal care, if you're pregnant, obviously, helps you with your birth, and then does about 6 weeks postpartum care, and then transfers back to your doctor and pediatrician.
That's pretty cool, though. Like,
it's very woman-centered.
And my coworker, whose wife is pregnant and due in a couple months, they're going with a midwife this time. Their first child, it was traumatic for them. they didn't feel supported. They didn't know what was happening. They had a nurse change halfway through, and the new nurse that they had come in was, as they feel, I don't know, I wasn't there,
yeah,
belligerent. Like, oh, you need to push now. Yeah. And
there's great nurses out there who, yeah, do, like, I've heard awesome stories. I've heard horror stories. You know, it's like everything, right? There's great nurses. There's terrible nurses. There's, mm-hmm, compassionate nurses. There's nurses who are good at their job, but the compassion, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But
the post-care is important, though. Like, because she, mm-hmm, they left some of the placenta in, and so she had to go all that issue. And so they didn't know if what they were experiencing was normal or not normal. Whereas if you're getting that care afterwards, and especially in a situation which is absolutely brand new.
Yeah.
You know.
And especially, like, Alberta has a shortage of midwives, which is why the program is so small. So maybe there'll be more midwives, and
yeah,
more women can have a midwife.
Yay for midwives. Okay, so, sorry. Back to the knitting.
back
to the topic.
Back to your 500-stitch ruffle.
Oops.
Oopsies.
Sorry, guys. We bumped.
That was me. That was all me.
So, yeah. So, 500 stitches for 11 rounds.
You can do it.
I can do it. I'm loving it. Like, I just love it. But it's getting heavy, and I think I just need to go to a longer cable, because it's work trying to move the stitches around, because they're so tight on there.
Well, hey, it might be worth it, hey?
I think so.
11 rounds of misery might be a little bit more tolerable.
Yeah.
So what else have you got going on?
I'm going to start a new sock, and it is out of, let's see, Felici?
Spooky.
I'm shocked
that it's Felici.
I know. It's my go-to yarn. It's awesome. And it is spooky, so it's the Halloween colorway that I think they brought out last year.
I love it.
So it's got, like, it's like your candy corn, you know, your light yellow, your light orange, your dark orange, and then they've thrown in purple and gray and white.
It's and like it's, monsters and zombies and candy corn.
It is, like.
And pumpkins.
It's very aptly named, you know, spooky. I love it.
If you're not in a country that does Halloween, because there are.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Lots of countries that don't. I know that I don't think the UK does, or they didn't. Maybe they do now.
Maybe not as crazy as
Not me. As crazy. Yeah, we like to dress up and go to random people's houses and ask them for candy.
Actually, we send our children up to their house to ask for candy.
Yes. And if you don't have children, but you still want to participate, or in my case, we don't have my stepdaughter this year, so I'm dressing my husband up. And we're going to scare children.
Excellent.
And give them candy, you know, as a reward for having survived the experience.
Thank you for coming to my house. Here's your reward.
Yeah. Oh, did you scream? Here's some candy.
Yeah, please don't cry.
Too much?
Yeah, oh, sorry.
So but it's a really cool colorway, I gotta say. I like this Felici color.
I love it, too. And super secret tip for Halloween, which was the best, and my mom did it years ago, and we've always tried to continue it, is she would go to wherever and just get a flat of No Name Pop and stick it in the fridge. No Name Pop and juice boxes. Mm. So as you're running around, and you're all, well, I'll rephrase that, in Calgary, it's cold here. And yes, it was minus 10 Celsius last winter, and our kids were running around in snowsuits. Normally, where I grew up, it is quite warm on Halloween, and so you would run around in your costumes and get warm. And then you would come to my mom's house and get a pop or a juice box and stuff.
Oh, yeah. See, I grew up in Montreal, and it was not maybe minus 10, but it was like minus 5. I did a lot of snowsuit trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of snow on Halloween, typically. Oh. That was like the first snowfall of the season. It was always dark. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Not so dark here.
Maybe 6 o'clock it starts getting dark? 5:36?
Maybe people trick-or-treat earlier here.
Yeah.
We get a lot of little kids at like 4, and I'm like,
it's where are you little guys from? At 4?
So, yeah, I never had a warm Halloween.
Yeah, well, where for me, the cold is shocking.
Yeah, no, not for me. I'm used to the cold. So, yeah, cool.
All right,
I look forward to seeing the sock. Are you just doing a plain stockinette sock?
I don't know. I would definitely want something that's not going to be lost.
Are you going to go crazy with, like, ribbing?
Yeah.
You can do like a ribbing sock.
I just finished ribbing socks. So maybe the monkey socks again, or maybe like, what's the Hermione one?
Oh, I did the Hermione one.
Did you?
That's awesome.
Is that your Santa stripper socks was the Hermione?
Nope, that was my Norfolk Ramblers. My Hermione I did out of hand-dyed, my own hand-dyed sock yarn. It was just like, I call it the tropical fish colorway because it was like turquoise and salmon pink and sweet. Aztec gold and navy blue. And I just went outside of my comfort zone and just started like mixing colors. And that's what I came up with. And it worked well. And it's an easy pattern to memorize.
Like, perfect. That's nothing, what I'm going
it's
for.
It's nothing to memorize it.
And you don't think I'll lose the pattern? Well, I guess...
Oh, for sure. No, not at all.
Okay,
not
sweet. That's probably what I'll do then. So, off the needles. You got anything? Is it all me?
It's all secret.
Oh.
I have secret baby knitting off the needles. That's all I can tell you.
So, in 3 weeks, you'll be telling us.
I can tell you all about it in 3 weeks.
Sounds great. And I just finished a purple sock. And it was the second sock. I think it's out of, like, a regia. It's kind of that self-striping, just plain superwash wool.
Faux isle, I call it.
Faux isle, that's right. That's good.
Faux isle. That. Oh, look at this sock. Oh, that's so fancy. Yes.
I'm so intelligent. Excellent. Yeah, so finishing that, I just got a kitchen of the toe closed. And then it's done. I might pass it along. I've got a lot of hand knit socks that I don't wear.
Oh. I don't have this problem.
I tend to favor my fleecy socks.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
But it's nice to get it off the needles. It's been on the needles since August, long weekend of last year.
It's only taken you a year then to finish.
They're well
two
marinated.
Socks. You had second sock syndrome. Mm-hmm. That happens.
Well, it's just a knit 3, purl 1 heel flap, so just plain. But
you should just say that your sock stash is there for when people have birthdays or Christmas, and you just you're like, here's a pair of socks. Look, I knit them just for you.
Yeah. I'm so smart.
Yeah.
All right, so that's end of off the needles for me.
There's always room for more yarn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll start out with my acrylic yarn story. So I normally knit out of wool nylon, you know, alpaca.
Wool blend of some
wool
type.
Wool blend, you know, cashmere, stuff like that. And I really like it. And I've discovered why. So acrylic yarn, it's not that it's shiny that I don't like it. It's not that it's not soft, because the stuff that I have is very soft, and it's really nice to feel it. Like, it doesn't feel plasticky. It feels nice.
It's not your grandma's...
It's not my grandma's acrylic yarn,
Yeah, it's
for
not
sure.
Fentex, right?
No, it's really nice. The colors are great. I love the colors of acrylic yarn. Like, they're just so poppy and bright. I love it. But I've discovered that what I don't like about it is I find, having worked with wool for so long, that it has a lack of memory. Like, it just doesn't hold and pop the way I want it to. However, it is good because you can machine wash it and machine dry it. And if you're giving it away as a baby gift,
you know, it's totally applicable.
You know, mom-to-be doesn't have to worry about, oh my goodness, you know, is this a hand wash one? Ah, oh my God, you know, it got stuck in my laundry. Ah.
Yeah, my baby had a poonami all over it. And
You know, like, what's going to happen? So I've, you know, it's all right, it's good, but I have discovered that I hate baby colors so much. And the reason I hate baby colors, I don't know if this baby that I'm doing this shower or going to the shower thing for is a boy or a girl.
Okay.
So I had to pick something, you know, that either or could wear. So yellow was my baby color choice, or like this kind of green. No, but some people are weird about this, and I don't know if mom-to-be is weird. I'm not. Like, I would put my baby boy in a pink hat. I don't care, whatever. It's a baby. I'm not that way, but some people are, so I don't want to, like, knit this purple hat, and then they're like, oh, you know, that's too girly.
Or if it's a girl, it's too boy.
Yeah.
Because it could be a boy purple.
So,
right?
So I picked some interesting colors that you'll see. I didn't pick baby yarn.
No, I love rainbows on babies, like,
I love it too, but I just don't know if mom would love it. And
you gotta knit for the recipient, right?
Yeah, like, you know, like,
you can't be like, I love this, you're gonna love it.
Yeah, you know, like, I would love it, so I would make it, if I was gonna have a baby, I would make it for my baby. Sure, no problem whatsoever.
Next time, just make a TARDIS baby blanket.
Oh, yeah, just. Just me.
Just make it so easy.
It's like, can you just whip me up a pair of socks? Yeah, sure, no problem. I'll just whip it up on my weekend.
Yeah, and I'll pay you $4 for it.
Oh, thanks.
I can get a pair of socks at Walmart for $4.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll just whip up a TARDIS blanket.
But a baby blanket could scale it down. It'd be awesome.
Just. I love it.
So, but, I guess, there's always room for more yarn, and have yarn will travel.
They sort of go together. But I forgot when we were writing our notes that I did buy other yarn.
Ooh.
For my stepdaughter. She loves ruffle scarves. Mm-hmm. I think I've already knit her two. She loves them. So I was at Michael's and they had some crazy ruffle yarn and I bought it. I was like, this is going to be the best. I bought two skeins of different stuff. One has like this weird faux fur trim on the bottom.
Sweet.
So it looks like this ruffly faux fur trimmed scarf, which the picture looked cool. And I was like, I have a love-hate relationship with ruffle scarf yarn. It's easy to knit, so I love it in that respect. And it's fiddly, so I hate it in that respect. But she loves it. It's super simple, and she's going to wear it, and she's going to love it. It's so awesome. I might wear it.
Is it a Christmas gift?
Yeah.
Sweet.
She doesn't listen to the podcast.
Sweet. Not yet.
No. She asked me today what we talk about. I said knitting, and she gave me this teenager look. Like, okay, whatever you say, old lady.
You get together and talk about knitting.
Yeah.
What else we do?
Yes, we do. And people listen to this. Which she finds even more shocking, I guess. She's 12.
As any 12-year-old would.
Yeah, and then this other stuff that I bought is this, it's ruffle type yarn, but it's like loops, like weird loops.
Hmm.
Like, it's almost like looped singles, it looks like dreadlocks.
Oh, cool. Like a twist?
No, there's no twist. No, it's just, they just loop, but they're sort of like a simple dreadlock. I can't explain it. I'll just take a picture and I'll post it.
And she's doing hand signals, people, and I don't think.
It's just not working. I can't explain it. I see it in my head. It's loops. I'll post a picture. That'll make it all.
Make sense.
Maybe. So I did buy more yarn, just not for me, and it's for Christmas, and I've got to start now. And she didn't want to come into the store, so I took advantage. All right, what about you?
Christmas is 5 months away. So, yeah, I did a trip this last weekend with my husband, and we went to Vancouver, and he was gracious enough to take me to a couple yarn stores.
Ooh.
And I think I may have scared him a little bit.
Yeah,
we went into Sweet Georgia in Vancouver.
Yep.
And I fell off the wagon so bad.
Oh no, the yarn diet wagon?
Yeah. Usually in the fall, I tend to kind of look at my stash and go, okay, I'm good. And I tend to slow down on a lot of purchases.
You settle in for the season?
Yeah, I kind of hunker down and I'm going to work through my stash, right? Yeah, that doesn't work for me in Sweet Georgia.
Judging by her table? No.
Yeah. I think, what did I end up with? I got 2, 4, 6, 8 Sweet Georgia, I think. And it was so hard not to walk away with the whole store. She does my colors.
Oh, she does my colors, yeah. Judging by what you bought?
Oh. Yeah, like, it's everything in there was just like, well, this is my color, and this is my color, and this is my color. It's saturated, and it's jewel tones, and it's solid and semi-solid. I only got one that was a green, pink, and white twist, and everything else is solid or semi-solid. And I'm trying to do the matchy-matchy thing. So I got two, what are they, light yellow?
Yeah.
Kind of a tonal light yellow.
They're sort of like a
sunshine yellow. Just very sunshine.
Like a buttery
kind
of yellow.
I got one in lace weight, and then I got one in sock weight, thinking if I do a shawl in one, then I can do a matching hat and possibly matching
mittens. Ooh, you could do a shawl, and you could do, fingerless gloves, like long ones.
Yeah, I like matchy-matchy, as I think we've discussed before.
Yeah.
And then, let's see here. I got three purples, a bright pumpkin orange, maybe?
No, not even. It's like safety orange.
It's called Dutch. I don't know.
I don't know.
Why it would be called Dutch, but it is
If you know why orange would be called Dutch, you should just let us know.
Yeah.
But it's like safety orange.
High viz.
I love it.
It is.
I love it.
Awesome.
And then Jen's lucky if it stays here.
Actually, I saw it and I thought of you, but I'm like, I have to have this.
Yeah. Oh no, it's gorgeous.
And so yeah, so I'm pulling stuff off the walls and pulling stuff off the walls, and it's a tiny little shop because it's in her dying studio, and she's just got this little front end shop, and it's literally in the middle of nowhere. It is industrial out. I was like, Pete, we're lost. We are so lost. And he's going, how can it be down here? And I'm like, well, I know it's her dying studio, but I don't know where we're going. And there's a tiny little sign in the window that says, Sweet Georgia, we're open. So
awesome.
I went in and I'm pulling stuff off and I'm putting them down. And my husband looks at me and he goes, you're pulling all those off just to choose what you want, right?
And you're like,
yes. And then I'm like, quick, ring it up. And because we'd flown to Vancouver from Calgary and I had a tiny little carry-on because we were just there for the weekend. He's like, yeah, where are we going to put this to get it home? I'm like,
stuff it down my shirt.
I'll leave stuff here. You know, I don't need this old pair of underwear.
We both think of sacrificing the underwear for the yarn.
I was like, I can get a new hair straightener. I can get other stuff, Pete. I'm bringing this yarn home.
I can get a new hair straightener, but I need this yarn. I like the logic.
So we actually managed to fit it all. It was a little strange. So anyway, so we went from Sweet Georgia. If you get a chance to see her, she's going to be in Knit City in Vancouver at the end of October. Felicia's the dyer there, and she is the most sweet and wonderful person. I got the blessing to meet her at Sock Summit. I kind of fangirled all over. I probably embarrassed myself, but I'm like, you gotta come meet my friends. And dragged her around.
Oh, well. Oh,
but it was fun. So
we're Canadian. We're friendly.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
So went from, by the time I was done, Sweet Georgia, I'm like, okay, we're good. We can go back to the hotel. And he's like, well, no, we got to go to another yarn store. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm full. I'm good, honey.
Yeah.
No, we got to go to a different yarn store. So bless his heart. We get in the car and then we set off to Urban Yarns, which is in Vancouver as well. And I got two more skeins. I got
Spud and Chloe
in my usual pink salmon type color. And then I also got a Madeline Tosh. It's her sport weight. And let's see if it actually gives us a dye or a color.
Cousteau.
Ooh, Cousteau. There we go. And it perfectly matches my storm warning, which I've pulled out and laid on the table. And I thought, ooh, I have a shawl, my storm warning. And then I have enough to do a matching hat and maybe some short, wristy, fingerless gloves or something. Hence the matchy-matchy.
That's nice.
And
that's cool looking.
Urban Yarns is where I got that. And it's kind of this, it's not a hole in the wall, but it's all kind of the neat little shops in Vancouver. And you go in and it is like packed, like to the rafters with yarn.
Oh, yeah.
Like it is, the yarn is climbing the walls and they're incredibly helpful and they are very busy.
Well, that's good for them.
I know. I was like, this is awesome. And they have been so good to me personally, because my husband, when he was in Vancouver in his last business trip, he made the trip in there in the rain. Aww. And got me yarn. And he walked in and he's like, I just need some yarn. And she's like, oh, well, do you want local dyers and stuff? And he goes, start saying some names to me and I'll tell you if my wife has it. He's so nice. And so the last time he was there, he brought me some yarn home. And nice. They were nice enough to call him a cab. They've got this little, so you come in and it's a rectangle and you got the stairs that go off to the left up into the upper loft where there's a teaching area.
Oh, cool.
Which is cool. I deked up there to take a little peek. And then under the stairs, kind of tucked in the back, is a couch with all the patterns.
Nice.
Which him and another husband were delegated to.
Oh, well.
Which was perfect. He walks in the back. He's like, yeah, the couch is open. And sits down. I'm like, thanks, honey. Perfect.
It's like he knows a place.
I know.
The couch, yes.
The couch, yes. And so we had a...
Nice. That was cool.
Yeah, it was a beautiful trip, and the weather was amazing. Like, I spent a couple years in Abbotsford, which is an hour or so outside of Vancouver, and I know how much it rains there. So when I have a good day in Vancouver, I totally appreciate it.
Yeah, you have to take advantage of it, for sure.
And so, trying to get all this yarn home, my husband didn't want to take it in his carry-on, because we were traveling separate airlines.
Okay.
And he didn't want to have to explain to security
why he had all this yarn.
Why he had a boatload of yarn.
Maybe he's a knitter.
A closet knitter.
You just don't know it.
If you see my husband, he's got tattoos and he's got this big long beard and he could pull off knitting, I'm sure. But I stuffed it all in my bag and I put it on the little conveyor belt and sent it through. And I'm just like, please don't want me to open my bike bag. Please don't want me to open my bag and pull stuff out, because I would have yarn from one end of the table to the other. I was like, please. And so I made it through. I was good.
Yay.
And I was happy.
All your yarn made it back.
Yes.
That's good.
And so knitting in the wild.
Okay, so this is knitting in the news.
Ooh.
And this is courtesy of my husband, who is a news fiend and was reading his BBC app and came up with this. So then I took it over and here it is. So they found in Norway, they found an Iron Age woolen tunic. I guess it got trapped in
the glacier, right?
Yeah, so it melted and then they found this thing, which is pretty cool, first of all, that it survived from the Iron Age. Also, it didn't specify if it was knitted or woven. Weaved.
Mm-hmm. Weaved.
Go English. If it was knitted or woven. But I still thought it was pretty sweet. It was pretty cool. They have a picture. It just kind of looks like this stained tunic. But it's pretty neat.
So the Iron Age was about, what, 300 AD? I think that's what
a good question.
I read the ad that you had linked.
The article.
The article, sorry.
And I'm going to link it in the show notes as well.
So we're just going to...
Look at that.
I'm so prepared. Let's come up. I think I had written it down
as well. So it says it's thought to be about 6,000 years old. Oh, it was made between 230 and 390 AD.
Okay. So
a long time ago.
Yeah.
For something knitted. There is made of both lamb's wool and wool from adult sheep, which we all know is just wool.
Do you think it was merino?
Probably not.
Can you imagine? This is so sad.
Yeah, I don't think they were. I don't think that was like a big concern.
They were breeding for comfort.
I think it was more like, hey, we're not going to freeze to death. This is a good one. Let's use this.
We're going to eat this sheep later. We might as well keep the wool.
It was patched up, so it could have been handed down. So it was well made, and somebody loved it enough to keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it was used to keep warm while they were hunting reindeer, which I thought was pretty neat, personally.
That's so cool.
So there you go. Historical knitting in the news. Not really knitting, maybe
okay,
knitting.
Fiber arts,
but still totally worth a mention.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. That's like crazy.
It is crazy. It was pretty cool that they found it, man.
Yeah.
I thought so. I'm a history nerd, but
I think that's just so cool. Like, to think that something someone I could make could last
sock.
That long.
And be like, this sock is loved.
Yeah. And it's possibly merino.
And it's fleecy. And I've just killed Jen.
Sorry if that was loud.
So, what's your knitting in the wild, Jen?
My knitting in the wild is I watched Harry Potter on the... maybe end of last week. And it was the second movie. I can't remember which one it is exactly. And Harry Potter ends up in the Weasley house. So the Weasleys are a wizarding family. Harry Potter is new to wizarding. And he ends up in their house because they kidnapped him in a flying car. But that's beside the point.
I've seen that one.
Okay, perfect. So they come into the house and it pans around the room of all this kind of really neat wizarding stuff.
Kitschy,
yeah. And at the chair are these two knitting needles just kind of floating and knitting at the same time. Like,
no, oh, cool.
Being a knitting geek, I was like, those aren't actually making any stitches, but the idea was neat.
Yeah. The intentions were good.
The intentions were good, because they always talk about the Weasley jumper, because every kid, Christmas, gets their hand-knit jumper with their initial on the front.
I don't know if it counts as hand-knit if no hands were involved in knitting.
Wizardly knitting.
Yeah, wizardly knit.
And I was like, this would be awesome. Last weekend I went... My husband and I really enjoyed dirt biking, and we were out riding. And I took a bit of a crash and totally wiped out my hand, bruised it, cut it open. Thankfully, I'm a geek. I had full chest protection, helmet, gloves, knee pads, boots. Like,
well, that's not a geek.
I was a walking safety advertisement.
That's called don't want to, like, get totally screwed over.
Yes, and I said to my husband, I'm like, oh, before we went out, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm always just so worried about hurting my hands, you know? I could handle being in a foot cast or crutches, but my hands, I need them to work. I need them to knit.
Yeah, saying that is like a magnet for disaster.
That's like I should have been saying, like, knock on wood.
That's like me saying I'm not jumping in the water to save a kid. I'm a lifeguard. I'm not going to jump in the water to save a kid, because that always happens when I say that.
Yeah, the fates come out and just spank
like,
you.
Oh, you don't want to get wet today? Well, guess what? Sorry.
So I was watching this movie and icing my hand, and I was... Luckily, it was my left hand, and I'm right-handed. And I'm like, oh, that would be so awesome if I could just make a spell that would do all my knitting. Could you imagine how much stuff you could get done?
You need an army of children.
Yes.
Your own children.
Hmm. My child is trying to learn to knit.
See? There you go. You just gotta start her on some easy stuff.
I keep trying to convince my husband to pick up knitting so that I can increase my production, because... there's some stuff I really want to get done.
Yeah, not
but
so much.
No, he doesn't, not really interested in it.
Yeah, keep working on him.
I will.
You never know.
So crap, I learned at knit night.
Oh yeah, this is all, well, it involves me, but it's Jen.
So, as Lex informed me at the last knit night, I am the knitting police.
Yes, Jen is the knitting police.
Oh man, I felt so bad, I actually apologized for it, so...
I didn't take offense to this when this story happened. I wasn't like all put out or anything. And it's hilarious when I look back on it now. Let me tell you.
So why don't you explain what you're doing that I felt the need to police you on?
So both Jen and I knit Continental.
We're pickers and not throwers.
Yes, we're pickers, not throwers. So in our knit group, this is, I guess, somewhat of an anomaly. There are a few other pickers, mm-hmm. but most people are throwers. That's fine. No big deal. So this was maybe my second or third knit night. I wasn't really far into it. It wasn't my first night. She was really nice on my first night.
Oh, no.
And so here I am. I don't know. I was doing some kind
purling.
I don't know what I was making. And my purl was really, really awkward at the time. And I can totally admit it. And when I look back on how I don't even know like why I thought this was the good way to do it. Anyway, so Jen looks over at me while I'm purling and says, "What the hell are you doing?"
I'm so the knitting police.
And I was like, I'm purling? And she's like, "How are you doing?" Granted, it looked awkward. She's like, "How are you doing that? Why?" But, and then she's just like, "Here, just look at me. Look how I do it.
Because I'm perfect."
Because apparently Jen is, you know, the goddess of
knitting. Oh, apparently.
But I have to say that this prompted me to go home, Google.
Feel the shame.
I didn't feel shame.
No good.
But
oh, man, I'm so
the way
sorry.
You did it, the way you did it looked way easier. It was horribly awkward the way, and it was slow. And I was thinking, like, how does anyone get anything done with pearls ever?
Yeah.
Like,
why would anybody pearl?
Why would anyone want to? My God. Like, this was going to take me a year to do this row. And so I went home and I Googled or YouTubed a bunch of Continental purling videos. And then eventually came up with my own little weird hybrid that's way less awkward and a lot quicker than the original.
I think I probably mentioned it because...
it looked painful.
Yeah, I think I remember it looking painful. But my first hobby was crochet. So, and I crochet backwards, unfortunately. But my purl was awkward and slow, where my knit was super fast, and then I'd pull it over the needle, and I would pinch it between my index finger and my thumb, and somehow manage to hold on to the needles with my remaining three fingers, and I would do these little tiny loops.
Yeah.
And it was so painful. And I finally realized, I don't know if somebody said something to me or I went, this is just too painful. I did the same thing, and apparently The brain-mouth filter doesn't work sometimes.
It was fine. It's hilarious now. But, hey, I learned how to purl better. I don't know if it's properly, but it's better. And it's quicker. And it's not as, like, people don't look at me and, like, how are your fingers not breaking? And this is taking you, like, 5 minutes to do two purl stitches. What are you doing?
I just feel bad. Because
don't feel bad.
All get to the same final outcome. And I don't know. I mean...
Well, hey... It increased my knitting production.
That's true, and I probably could take some sensitivity training.
Yeah, well, she's like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, I'm purling. Like, what does it look like I'm doing?
I don't know.
Obviously, not purling.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Jen is the knitting police.
Apparently.
So if you're worried about the knitting police showing up at your door, you don't have to, because she's right here.
Keeper in Calgary.
Yeah, it's all good, guys. It's all good.
So we're coming to an end of episode 11.
I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who has posted on the Facebook page or on the Ravelry.
We appreciate the feedback. It is awesome. And yes, the suggestions.
Yes. Everything is great. And I like the intros. And thank you for saying that you like something or that we should maybe think about changing other things. It's all good.
Yeah. We totally appreciate it, guys.
Feedback is great. It's good to know that either we're good or we're not.
And we're here for us, but we're here for you too. We love podcasts. So we like to try and put out a good product.
Yeah. So, yay for you guys.
Yay for all of us.
Yay for all of us.
A little pat on the back there. So, please join us on our blog at knittingastory.wordpress.com.
Facebook at Knitting a Never Ending Story.
And Ravelry group, Knitting a Story. And I think it's
Knitting a Story podcast
now.
Yeah, I should change that on our notes.
And I'm Jen's account, JennsAccount.
And I'm Beloved of Bast, BelovedOfBast.
And please, if you enjoy what we're doing and you want to keep the craziness going, add us as friends. We love creeping on what projects you guys are making.
Yep, I find a lot of neat projects that way, you guys.
Thank you so much, and we will see you again for episode 12.
Have a great day.